Well, Greg Medcraft, what worrying signs are you seeing about the Sydney housing market?
Well, look, I think that the Sydney and the Melbourne markets, you know, I believe are very hot. I mean, I think if you know, look at the average price to average income ratio, it is very, very high. And our major concern is to make sure that people, I guess there are people are being responsible as both lenders and as borrowers. We don't want people to get in over their head, and that's our major concern.
Do you see evidence, though, that both Sydney and, to a lesser extent, Melbourne are already in a housing bubble?
Through history has shown that often you don't know you're in a bubble until it's over. So, but you can look at history and look at historical averages, and you know, one can draw their own conclusions.
The last time there was serious evidence of a potential bubble was going back to 2002, 2003. Are we possibly seeing history repeating itself at the moment?
Well, I think, as I said, I think you need to look back at history. Having lived through the mortgage crisis in the United States, it was interesting looking at that crisis, where everyone thought prices would keep going up, and obviously, you know, they didn't. But you know, we're a different economy, different sort of mortgage structures. But you look around the world, and history shows that, you know, that average ratio is something that's very important in residential housing.
And of course, in the United States at that time, there were a lot of borrowers who were on low honeymoon rates who really felt the pressure when rates started moving higher. Is that a possibility for here?
Well, that's what we're concerned about, is when rates start rising, that, you know, people are naturally optimistic about having very low interest rates and believing that they'll take the risk that, you know, they'll stay, you know, low for a reasonable period of time. And you know, they tend to, you know, when rates start rising again, that's often when they're obviously miscalculated. So because people tend to be naturally optimistic.
Regulators like the Reserve Bank and also APRA have studiously avoided using the word bubble. But is that what you're seeing at the moment?
Look, I don't necessarily want to draw that conclusion. As I said, that what you've got to look at is that it's a very hot property market. People need to look at what's happened in the past, and if they're taking a view to the long term, that, you know, we are not in a normal situation. Rates will not stay where they are, you know, in the long term, there's no doubt. So, and that's why the banks use a rate of, you know, 7%, for example, to calculate debt servicing.
And the Reserve Bank recently cut the cash rate to a new historic low of 2%. But are you concerned that some banks might not be living up to the best possible lending standards they have, given that there is a race on for cheap money?
Look, we do have a concern about underwriting standards, and that's why we're undertaking surveillance on interest-only loans of mortgage brokers at the present time, because we are concerned that you know, that there could be some issues there. We will be releasing a report in the future on the results of that surveillance, because this is exactly what you did see in the United States, is that lending standard, underwriting standards, you know, in hot markets can come under pressure.
What about self-funded retirees who've been buying investment properties as part of their portfolios, thinking that prices will keep rising? What are your concerns in that area?
Well, I think for those that are buying them in their self-managed super fund, if they're buying them as part of portfolio, as part of a diversified portfolio, then that's something that, you know, I think that's probably reasonable. The concern I have is where it is, you know, you've only got, you know, one or two properties. Many have only got one property in a super fund, and it's the only asset. And the issue with that is lack of diversity. And if you're relying on it for income, if it's basically empty and you've still got to pay the interest, then that becomes an issue. So it's an issue of fundamentals of diversification of income sources. And so, you know, that's the trouble there with putting it into super. But as a single asset, if it's diversified, it's something that, you know, I wouldn't, you know, it's reasonable. But the issue is when it's not diversified.
The jobless rate looks like getting higher. Last week's budget said 6.5%. Some market economists are looking at 6.75%. But does that leave the big banks exposed when it comes to the ability of borrowers to make their payments?
You know, that's the other thing in history, that the major pointer impact on mortgage defaults is unemployment. But I mean, that is only a very small blip up in unemployment. But unemployment is, as you know, the economists will tell you, is that that is the major driver of basically mortgage defaults. But the last thing people will default on is their home, and that will be normally when they lost their job and they have no other recourse. So, I mean, that is why, you know, it's unemployment is the real one that is a big driver.
And what do you see in terms of macro-prudential regulation? We've already seen a fair bit of that across the Tasman and New Zealand.
Oh, really, that's something for, I think, for APRA to comment, but you know, it is something that's used by regulators around the world. But I do think it is actually, you know, quite hard to constrain the market. I think you know, these things, well, they have been imposed, and I think they have had some success, but really that's something for APRA to comment on. But I mean, that's why we felt that, at least from our point of view, it's important to actually put that warning out there for people to be careful and to, you know, really do their homework and look at and take a view about long-term interest rates when they're buying a home and taking on a long-term commitment.